Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Calls to fast-track legislation to ban disposable vapes. Those calls are being made here in Ireland because we're potentially going to have a two-tier system with single-use vapes banned in Northern Ireland and the UK. Take a listen to our reporter, Quisha Connolly. She was out in the streets of Dublin a little earlier this morning to just chat to people about how many of them use vapes.
I do vape, yeah. I never smoked before, but I do vape.
And can I ask how old you are?
23.
And how long have you been vaping?
2 years, I think. On and off. I think just all my friends vaped as well, and it's just a habit now that I can't really stop. With work, we come out for a vape, like, on lunch and break, and then, like, when I break away from that, hopefully, I stop.
I use it as a form of quitting smoking, and I've been vaping for a few years now. I feel much healthier on it instead of smoking cigarettes. So, and also the price. The price of cigarettes have gone up so much.
Yeah, I have tried vaping. I do prefer smoking, but I think vaping is more addictive because it tastes nicer than smokes. And, like, you can kind of just do it lying in bed and stuff. It's too handy. But I do feel like even if I am just smoking and I'm not buying vapes, like, I do be thinking about them a lot.
For a while, I was really into vaping, but then it got out of hand because it made me feel sick because I was doing it too much. It's hard to stop when it's, like, so easy and accessible. Yeah, so definitely I felt like I was losing lung capacity and my voice, I would cough because I was vaping too much.
Yeah, just people chatting to Quisha a little earlier today. Mark Murphy's the Senior Policy Manager with the Irish Heart Foundation. Mark, just clarify the situation here at the moment. Do we now have a two-tier system when it comes to single-use vapes?
Hi, thanks for having me. Yes, so in the UK, including Northern Ireland, they have now banned disposal vapes. Now, the Irish government here have committed to following the UK in banning disposal vapes, but the legislation is still being worked on and that has to be notified with the EU. So we are a couple of months or even longer behind the UK. So at the moment, there is a two-tier system when it comes to vapes. And that two-tier system will kind of only go further or widen when the UK passed their tobacco and vapes bill, which kind of will seek to kind of phase out the sale of smoking to young people. So we are at a two-tier system, and unfortunately, it's as all the people and the Vox Pop were saying, it's people who are young who are taking it up and when they've never smoked. And that's what we're really concerned about at the Irish Heart Foundation. It's young people, it's teenagers who have never smoked, who are taking up vaping because they're being targeted by vaping companies, particularly with disposable vapes. And that's why we need to kind of close that two-tier system.
So the legislation has actually come into effect then in the North and the UK?
Yes, it came into effect a few months ago. Now, we've already seen the market, like the vaping market, already kind of shift to try and, exploit any loopholes and launch new products that kind of exploit the loopholes in the legislation. So, but disposal vapes are technically banned in Northern Ireland and the UK, and Ireland needs to follow suit. But I think what's really important is that whatever legislation that Ireland passes is that it's future-proof and it's forward-thinking, because when you're taking on the tobacco industry or the vaping industry, they will exploit any loophole in legislation and release any products just to exploit those loopholes, just to continue to target young people and to continue to make profits off these young people. And I think that's what we really need to be concerned about in Ireland.
Yeah, so are you looking for them when you talk about into the future? Is it more than just single-use vapes you're talking about?
Oh, absolutely. I think there needs to be a lot more action on vapes. So I think there needs to be a complete ban on, or the Irish Heart Foundation believes there needs to be a complete ban on disposal vapes, but also there needs to be more regulation on them. There should be a complete ban on all flavours, bar tobacco. We should have plain packaging for e-cigarettes like we have for tobacco. And we should see a complete ban on the marketing of vapes, particularly online, because influencers are marketing vapes as a lifestyle device. And they're targeting young people and teenagers as their target market when vapes are not designed for them. And also in Ireland, Ireland kind of took a historic step last year when we decided to pass legislation that will increase the legal age of smoking from 18 to 21, and that will take effect in 2028. There's no reason why cigarettes should be 21 and e-cigarettes should be 18. So we also think e-cigarettes should also be increased. The legal age should be increased from 18 to 21. So there needs to be much more regulation on vapes. Now, vapes have a role in our society and as a role in cessation, but the legislation is way out of kilter. The balance is way out of kilter, and we need more regulation to protect young people.
So stay with me, Mark, for a few moments. I just want to bring Aileen is on the line, I should say, as well. Aileen's the Chief Executive Officer at Parentline. I mean, do you get many calls from parents talking about their teenagers vaping?
We do, Andrea. So, unfortunately, in 2023 was the first year we saw calls on vaping creeping into the parent line helplines. Prior to that, it had been calls from parents concerned about smoking. They seem to dramatically, but in 2024 the calls in relation to vaping tripled as compared to 2023, and I can already see from the call logs that there's a massive increase again this year in calls from parents who are concerned about vaping. In fact, I did look this morning and it is one of our six biggest call areas that parents are concerned about.
And
in relation
to vaping.
And
what are they asking you, Aileen?
So they're concerned. Look, first of all, I had a look also. I mean, so you know, the children of 10. So, you know, we're not even talking teenagers at this stage. So, you know, they're concerned about the easy availability of vapes, you know, in to walk into the millions of vape shops that appear to have cropped up everywhere. And as your previous caller said there, you know, it's the attractiveness of the packaging and the attractiveness of the look and the, you know, the various flavours that are dispensed through them and all the rest of it. And they're also very concerned about both the long and the unknown short-term and long-term effects of vaping. And that one of the particular issues that is mentioned by the parents is that they feel that there is a correlation between anxiety, the anxiety that their kids are experiencing, and the vaping. Now, I'm not trying here to, I'm not a medical doctor, to make a physical, you know, a physical correlation between vaping and anxiety. What I'm saying is I can only speak to the experience of what we hear mm-hmm. from parents ringing the helplines, and they are certainly saying that they see an increase in anxiety with their children having taken up vaping. I mean, and there has been various HSE reports that there can be a link between various mental health issues with children, particularly in relation to e-cigarettes and depression and anxiety. So, you know, it's certainly an issue and an increasing issue. I mean, you only have to walk down the streets of any city or town and everyone is grabbing vapes out of their pocket and vaping away because, again, as one of the people, the Vox Pop people said there, you know, it's too easy. They can lie in bed vaping. They can go mm-hmm. just because, you know, it says no vaping in a toilet doesn't mean, you know, you can't vape in a toilet because...
It seems to be up to, you know, each employer or business owner to decide their own policies themselves, which I think is kind of crazy.
Well, it is. I mean, I just feel like we have let vaping slip so much, into society, into the way. I was only away last week, and one of the comments that myself and my husband made was it was unbelievable the amount of the amount of people we didn't see vaping. That, you know, the comparison to what's happening, you know, in what I can see, you know, in the streets of Dublin and compared to international cities in relation to vaping, you know, that there was no similarity. So mm-hmm. I mean, we just seem to have let this creep in. And again, you know. You know, again, as your previous caller said there, you know, maybe there is a purpose for vaping in terms of if it was, you know, to stop a smoker from smoking. But these people are not smoking first. They're vaping first. And these children aren't smoking first. They're vaping.
Yeah. And looking at research from the University of York and London School of Tropical Medicine this morning as well, they say that kids who vape are now three times more likely to become smokers too. Aileen Hickey, Chief Executive Officer at Parentline. Thanks a million, Aileen, for joining us. JJ Clark is on the line because JJ, you spoke to me previously about trying to quit vaping. How's that going for you?
Well, I'm off 3 months and I was just saying to the producer there that I've become the de facto vape correspondent. so I get a lot of calls on it. So 3 months gone. I suppose, you know, attending events is a big one. So if I go to a wedding or I go to a festival, like I was at a festival 2 weeks ago and there were standalone vape concession stores at the festival where it just had in neon lights vapes. And, you know, everyone and their dog was vaping. So it's like those events are tough. But I suppose, you know, because this is in relation to teenagers and the youth vaping, it's from my own experience, if I could go back to the point at which I tried vaping and I could, you know, I suppose teleport myself back there, I would smack that vape out of my hand. Like it is incredibly difficult to give up.
And just remind me, sorry, did you use vapes to get off cigarettes?
No. I was I smoked for 2 years when I was 19, and then 10 years later, picked up a vape. Yeah, and I suppose I was going through two vapes, single use vapes a day. That's 600 puffs each, and it's, you know, the equivalent nicotine in one single use vape is about you know, the same as a pack of 20 cigarettes. So I was like rifling through vapes. And, you know, like even when I go to sleep at night, you know, the way you have your phone next to your pillow, I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I'd like reach around my pillow to hit the vape. And I'd have a moment of panic if I couldn't find it, if it had rolled, you know, off the bed or something. And then, you know, just out of habit, I'd be vaping and it casts a blue light out of the front to say that it has energy or there's still charge in it. And like, I'd be sort of just in my bed vaping, sort of very bleak and depressing. And like the blue light would be cast about and I'd be like, what am I doing?
So you stopped and you've quit 3 months ago now.
Yeah.
Haven't looked back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Millie's with us too. Millie, I believe you used to vape as well. Is that right?
Hi, yes. I was listening to what you were saying there. I did try. And as the previous person on the phone there, what was his name?
JJ.
Basically, one puff of a vape has the same as a cigarette. And I've only smoked four or five.
Hang on, Millie. I'm going to try to reconnect with you, if you don't mind, for a moment, just with your phone line. Bear with me one moment there. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. John is on the line as well. John, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Andrew. How are you?
Good, not bad. You're a regular vapor, is that right?
I'm using vapes 10 years.
Right.
I started with the one that looked like a cigarette and I progressed. I don't use the disposable one. I spend about 60, 70 euro on it. Does me about a year. But I used to smoke 40 cigarettes a day.
Okay, so you were using them to try and...
Yeah, that's what started, but I easily smoke 60 cigarettes worth of nicotine a day now. Because,
so
you know,
it's worse than,
home,
is
you're
it?
Watching, well, it's kind of worse than it's kind of not worse. At least I'm not smoking cigarettes. But, you know, if you're sitting watching a program on the TV, if you're smoking, you go outside. But if you're vaping, you just sit there. And you could be watching a movie and you'd smoke 10 milligrams of nicotine while you're watching them, you know. But,
So it has helped you get off the... It worked in the sense that it got you off the fags, but...
Yeah,
but
it made me more dependent on nicotine.
Okay, on the vape, yeah. And you don't use the single-use one, as you say. You use
No.
Whatever
no.
you call it, the more permanent vape, if you want to call it that.
Yeah. But,
And what's your observations, John?
Well, I actually went to a lung specialist that could be 6-7 years ago, and he was asking me about these. He said he was been at a seminar, and I said to him, they're great for getting you off cigarettes. They're better than smoking cigarettes. But I said to him, I bet you all that cigarette manufacturers are going to start investing in them with the air. Anybody younger starting on vapes now that don't smoke, it'll definitely get them addicted to nicotine, 100%.
Yeah, and that seems to be what, you know, I think the point that Aileen was making a little earlier, parents concerned about that. I can see that from WhatsApp messages coming in too, you know.
Yeah.
For maybe people talking about their teenage sons and daughters who might never have smoked, but they're all vaping.
And they're all fancy colours, sparkly colours, you know, different flavours.
Mm. So you find it sort of, you do find it quite addictive, John, you do?
100%.
Yeah.
Without a shadow of a doubt, you know. But I vape, and to be honest with you, I don't have any inclination to give up. But when I was smoking, it was incredible the way, you know, in the morning and your lungs and you gasp and for air and everything. But I don't have any of those issues now.
Mm. Okay, thanks for getting in touch with us, John. Millie, you mentioned you used to vape.
Yes, I did try vaping, but one of the things I noticed nearly straight away was when you vape, obviously one puff is the same as a cigarette, and I was only smoking four or five a day. But to get the same effect, I'd have to vape more. But as soon as I started vaping, within a day or two, I've got COPD, but I had very, very bad pain in my left lung, especially nearly like a heart pain. But I think it was actually the pain of the vape that was drying out the lung or the toxins in the vape anyway. And it also really affected my head, like I was dizzy, kind of nearly hallucinating feeling, you know, when your sinuses are really dry, like half asleep, dehydrated, because I've got sinus issues anyway. So possibly because there was more concentration of chemicals as well. And the thing people don't realise is when the chemicals go into your sinuses, then they go into the bloodstream Oh my God, I've just been hit by a Concombe on the head. They go into the bloodstream and they go to the lining of the veins, and that's where it gets into your brain as well, which is why it can affect your brain very quickly if you've got a bad barrier between the blood, the borders of the lining of the blood vessels, and obviously your sinuses, which is what where COVID starts usually as well. It's that point between your sinuses and your brain. So overall, I think. The other thing I wanted to mention was when I was young, I remembered the smell of actual natural flowers and bees and the fresh air. And that's what I enjoyed breathing in through my sinuses and my nose, and you feel nice and clear. So we don't have that anymore. We don't have the flowers and the bees. And so it's a kind of a trick for young people that they don't remember what it was like when we were young. And they're getting the feeling of these things, which is kind of maybe a half generational residue. Of what should be the natural way. So the body's mimicking this feeling. And instead of using those things to be in nature and fresh air, the body is being tricked into thinking they're doing something natural. And they're never going to take up those same sports and the things that I would have done when I was young, okay. You know, running in the fields and swimming. And it's kind of a double trick, you know.
Okay. Lou Clancy, consultant, respiratory physician and founder of the Tobacco Free Research Institute of Ireland is with us on the line today. Look, there seems to be an awful lot, I find, of nearly misinformation around vaping, and I think people are actually just seeking, you know, honest, genuine research around the around vapes and maybe just how good or bad are they.
Good afternoon. I think you're right. The whole thing around e-cigarettes at the beginning was framed as being less harmful. You know, mainly from the UK and mainly from England and mainly from London came the view that e-cigarettes are 95% safer than cigarettes. Now, at the time, very little was known about them. But also, cigarettes kill half of the people who use them. Therefore, to be better than that was no good. But that is the framing that has dictated the attitude to e-cigarettes in Ireland. And this went right through society. A lot of doctors had this motivation as well. And even the Department of Health, they were afraid, I think, to intervene because the message was so strong that they were for smoking cessation. But when you come to children, that's not the way it is. And we started in 2014 and 2015 saying how our children were all using them. And even then, about 70% of the people, the children who had started using them, had never smoked a cigarette. And I thought that would be enough evidence to do something about it then. But nothing has happened, and very little. And unfortunately, even though we were ahead in smoke-free, we're way behind in attitudes to e-cigarettes.
So
and
vaping is the gateway. It is a gateway to smoking now. We can say that, can't we?
We can say there's evidence for that. We published on that in 2022. Certainly people who use e-cigarettes were in Irish population, not any other country, in Irish population were more than twice as likely to start smoking. But that doesn't prove it, because and there are alternative theories. For instance, common liability, that the person who does one thing will do another thing. And we found that. And also that it can be a catalyst. If you use that, it can provoke you to do other things. All of these are interesting. But the reality is that e-cigarettes were leading people to smoking and are associated with smoking. And for instance, we had watched the decline in smoking in children in Ireland since 1995. And it dropped really sharply, and particularly in girls, down to 2015. Then it stopped falling and just trickled away. And we found that it has continued to decline, but so much slower. But also we're finding now that the tobacco industry and the nicotine industry are saying, oh, it's important to get the kids hooked early. So there are new products with nicotine. You know, we're really behind the curve talking about e-cigarettes.
Yeah, so
about the e-cigarettes.
No, it's a fair point, Luke, on that. Mark, just a final question to you, because as you mentioned, this legislation is now in effect in Northern Ireland and the UK. There is a commitment here to bring in a ban on single-use vapes. What about policies around smoking in pubs, restaurants and workplaces?
Well, the Department of Health, they did have a kind of a public consultation which asked the question, should vaping be banned in all places where smoking is banned? And even asked, should we extend workplace smoking bans to kind of outdoor areas like outdoor beer gardens or cafes and terraces, or outdoor cafes and outdoor terraces? And certainly from the Irish Heart Foundation's point of view, we feel that e-cigarettes should be banned in all places where smoking is banned. Because if you have one rule for one device and one rule for another device, it gets very confusing. There's a lot of a confusion about what's allowed and what's not allowed. And then it's in that confusion that the vaping industry kind of exploits. And it would actually help business owners to know if they have this one rule from the government saying wherever smoking is banned, vaping should be banned. But we also feel that, you know, as Luke says, Ireland is a bit of a leader in tobacco control, but we still need to take those next steps. And we feel some of those next steps could be, you know, extending smoke-free spaces to outdoor hospitality areas like outdoor cafes and outdoor terraces and perhaps beer gardens. Because, you know, Ireland's smoking rate has stalled and we need another kind of catalyst to kind of push it again.
It's the point actually that people are getting in touch about, I should say, most today. You know, like often you hear people giving out about the fact that we're a nanny state deep telling people what they can and can't do. But a lot of our texters want the government either to make a decision and tell businesses and employers to tell their staff that you either can or you can't vape in the workplace. 087 1400 106, that's the WhatsApp number. That's Mark Murphy from the Heart Foundation, Aileen Hickey, Professor Luke Clancy, JJ Clark, Millie John. Thanks a million for sharing your stories with us.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.